The Agony and Passion of Our Lord. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Philippians 2:8. The following is from Jesuit priest Claude de la Colombière. An inward grief seized the heart of the Savior of the world. He walked in silence to the place called Gethsemane, where, finding that his mortal strength succumbed to the extreme anguish of his soul, he was perforce constrained to appeal to his apostles, as if to ask them for some relief. "My soul is sorrowful unto death," said he, "and I feel that I must give way to the sadness coming over me." But receiving no consolation from them, he again withdrew apart, not so much to hide his trouble and his fear, as to retreat within himself. See him now in a corner of this garden, how pale he is, how he staggers, how he trembles and falls upon his face. See his face quite wet with tears, his very clothes are saturated with a bloody sweat which flows in streams upon the ground. He lifts up his hands and raises his voice to heaven. He twice goes back to his disciples to complain how little he is assisted, and twice returns to his retreat, but no rest, no calm succeeds. I know not, my brethren, what is your idea, but I confess that this mystery astonishes me and is beyond all comprehension. When I look upon a God humiliated, a God sorrowful even unto death, my mind, shallow as it is, has no difficulty in unraveling this enigma. But a God troubled in his soul, struck with fear, and sad even unto death, troubles me exceedingly, and I am lost in thought. What, this Messiah which God sent down on earth to be our master and example, this Savior who has come into the world to suffer, this Savior who has shown so much impatience to shed his blood for love of us, now that his hour has come, seems to be wanting in resolution. See him extended full length upon the earth, bathed in his blood, suffering for 3 hours a cruel agony, and unceasingly repeating those words, "Let this chalice pass away." O my Savior and my God, the support of the weak, the strength even of the strong, mighty soul whose generous feelings are so raised above every infirmity of man, tell us, I beseech thee, what may be the cause of so keen, so deep a grief. For I cannot really believe that fear alone of that death which you have taught us to despise could have caused you so great an agony. The following is from French priest Père Nouet. In your mind's eye, draw a lively picture of the Passion of Jesus Christ. In this sketch, you can represent the lance which has pierced his heart, the thongs and cords which are so embedded into his flesh that the thorns and nails are steeped in blood. Surely, if you think of these sad circumstances of his death and gaze attentively, you must indeed be moved. Gratitude would compel you to be so, for having endured so many tortures for your sake, the least you can do is to compassionate his sufferings. Justice requires it, for if you feel compassion for any of your brethren, what do you not owe to the Son of God, who, through excess of love, was made man and took his place as your friend and brother? Humanity alone would prompt you, for if you saw the lowest of your fellow creatures in the condition to which his love for you had reduced him, you surely would have pitied him. St. Gregory of Nyssa could never see the painting of the sacrifice of Isaac without shedding tears of compassion and tenderness, for he thought of that innocent victim who laid bare his neck and awaited the death blow from the hands of his own father. If this so moved his pity, is not the sight of Jesus dying on the cross infinitely more pitiable? Oh, what sufferings has he not endured! Who could sufficiently appreciate the excessive goodness and mercy which induced him to bear such a heavy weight of dolors? Cast your eye on his many wounds. See the streams of blood which trickle down. Look at his face, so disfigured with spittle, mud, and blood. Taste the bitterness of the gall they gave him to drink. Listen to the blows of the heavy hammer as it drives the nail through his tender feet. Listen to those loving complaints he sends up to heaven, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, to teach you the excess of those interior griefs which you cannot see or understand. Remember that he is innocent, that he is the Son of a God who is the God of glory. And if you can gaze on this, his bed of suffering, without weeping for your sins, you must confess that you are unfeeling and hard-hearted. However great may be our miseries, however painful may be the misfortunes we have to endure, whether deserved or not, the remedy we find in the cross and sufferings of our Savior is infinitely greater and more powerful. One single drop of the blood he shed for us was capable of paying all our debts, sufficient to blot out all our sins, and powerful enough to extinguish all the flames of hell. What would be the value of that deluge of blood which he has poured over us with such profusion? If each drop can save 1,000,000 worlds, the whole mass of that precious blood, will it not be able to save a sinner? You cannot doubt the efficacy of so potent a remedy, since it is of inestimable value, nor of the sufficiency of your ransom, since what he has given is beyond all price. Every river, when it flows into the sea, loses its name, because when compared to the mighty ocean, it is as nothing in comparison. And so the greatest sins vanish and disappear when they are drowned in the ocean of divine mercy. And if you doubt this still, you are ignorant of the value of the sufferings and death of the Son of God. Do you not know that the Apostle says, His blood calls for mercy for every sinner, even to those who have been put to death, and it cries out with so loud and powerful a voice that it drowns the noise and clamor of our sins? Do you not know that He gave Himself a redemption for all, and consequently that His blood, His sufferings, His death, and His satisfactions are all yours? Put then your trust in Him without troubling yourself about your miseries. Avail yourself of His blood, more powerful than that of Abel's. Make good use of so powerful a voice, and do not fear that His Father will reject you, but only fear that you yourself will refuse. See that you refuse Him not that speaketh. Hebrews 12:25. For if those who rejected Him when He spoke on earth have not been able to avoid being punished, so we who reject Him when He speaks to us of heaven will have a lesser chance of being saved.